Hello, iPhone photographers. Welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast for March 21st, 2012. My name is Keith Tharp, along with Mark Sadowski.
How's it going, everybody?
And also joined again today by Matt Hoffman. How you doing, Matt?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me back. Sorry I missed last week.
Hey, we will forgive you after episode 5.
Yeah, two more episodes. We gotta have 5 episodes without an injury before you're forgiven.
Okay,
listeners. Head over to iTunes for us and make sure you give the show a 5-star rating and a nice comment for us would help out a lot. Any kinds of comments directed directly at the show are great to head over to tinyshutter.com. Each episode has its own post with links to everything that we talk about, as well as a place for you to comment and tell us how great we are. Today, for the news, let's get into the news. Starting off real quick with the news, I want to throw back to last week. We had a story about iPhone and Android being in hot water. Tim Cook summoned Dave Morin over to Cupertino, Apple HQ, to talk to him about how his app, Path, was actually harvesting entire address books and uploading them to Path's very own servers. And this guy, Dave Morin, actually came out and said, you know, we were doing this, and like I kind of said last week, we're doing this as a way to try and help out our users, to kind of get them connected with their friends and family and just do it in a kind of quick way. Apple has since promised that there's going to be an iOS update that closes this gap and requires explicit permission for any app that's going to be getting access into the address book. So that's the quick news for that.
Do you think Tim Cook has a throne in the Apple headquarters? Like he summons this guy over, and you know it's this dark room with this one light over the throne, and he's sitting there all Game of Thrones like, and
probably not yet. I think that he might be working towards that, but I think that he's not overstepping his bounds yet. All right, so hey, anyway, that's just a throwback to last week, and next up is...
Yeah, so some news that came out this past Friday is the iPhone beating Sony in camera sales. Basically, Sony is reporting that they have their weakest point-and-shoot camera demand since 2009. They're not specifically saying that the iPhone is beating them, but just smartphones in general. And it looks like some of the other major camera manufacturers like Nikon, Canon, and Olympus are also reporting about a 10% decline in their sales as well.
What's really interesting about it is the numbers that come in talking about a 4% drop for the digital camera market and a 35% increase for the camera phone market, or smartphone market, mind you. So 115 million units for your point-and-shoot type cameras, or cameras in general, I guess, and 642 million units for smartphones. So
basically 5 smartphones for every point-and-shoot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, you can see this in the wild. You can see this out in public.
Yeah.
I was at a birthday party. I saw a birthday party at a Chili's. Everybody at this table, there was maybe like 15 people, 20 people that were there. Every single one of them smartphones. Not necessarily iPhones, but every single one of them was a smartphone. So this is going to be very interesting. I would actually, I'm very surprised the camera manufacturers haven't taken a more proactive interest in working with and developing cameras.
I'll tell you what, they're going to have to do something like that. They're going to need to have to step up and start incorporating new technology or something to either get phones into their cameras or get their cameras into phones.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway, it'd be interesting to see where this pans out.
So I got an interesting piece of news, and I think that today's news is all kind of flowing right into our feature, which is kind of cool. I like this. The bit of news happened actually early last week, so probably right around the time our show went out. Actually, a little bit before, now that I think about it. Russell Brand walking down the streets of New Orleans, and he's got a paparazzo, is what they call him. If there's only one, right? He's got one of these paparazzos, kind of shooting at him with an iPhone, getting his pictures and whatnot. And so Brand decides that he's had enough of this. Actually, what started it was, I think that Russell Brand didn't want anything to do with anybody this particular day, so he's got one of his silly disguises on with his hair undone and a set of dark glasses on and an overcoat. The paparazzo finds him, starts taking pictures, and Russell Brand's had enough and goes over and confronts the guy. The confrontation turns sour. Russell Brand grabs the dude's iPhone, right? There was a very brief exchange before Brand decides he gets this good idea to turn around and launch the phone at a building, an adjacent building, and actually smashes through a glass window. It turns out that the building was actually initial report said the place was abandoned, but it's even if it was abandoned, it's owned by a law firm. So he ends up turning himself into police, and I don't know if it was just briefly before or just briefly after, his only public statement since this has happened that hasn't gone through his lawyers has been that he did this in tribute to Steve Jobs. Ever since Steve Jobs has died, I don't know what the actual thing was, but basically it ends with him saying, you know, he couldn't stand to see the iPhone being disparaged like this, so this was a tribute to Steve Jobs.
Very cool.
The New Orleans police has decided that they are going to press charges and seek criminal charges on him, and his lawyer just came out today and announced that they are going to defend against the criminal charges aggressively. So I don't know what their defense is. I mean, I know that out in California there's some pretty strict laws against the paparazzi as far as how they can and can't operate and where they break as far as impeding on people's privacy. But I don't know, in this particular case, once he grabs the thing out of the person's hand, I mean, I guess if he grabbed it and just like dropped it or maybe got physical with the guy, because I know that those things have happened in California and the stars have gotten away with it.
The last I heard, there was just a short statement and like a $200 fine.
Nice.
But it shows that iPhone photography is good enough for photojournalism. If you use that term photojournalism very loosely.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. People want that kind of news, then there's somebody that's got to give it to them, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good segue for us to move into our last news story of the day, which is that Al Jazeera just recently started airing a 25-minute documentary called Songs of Defiance about the war in the war-ravaged Syria, political uprising going on, and there's rebels fighting civilians, fighting rebels, and all this kind of crap. And the entire 25-minute documentary was filmed on iPhone 4s and iPhone 4S, actually by, I believe it was just one photojournalist. Who's remaining
anonymous
just to protect his sources so that they don't end up getting harmed. So it's interesting. There's something to be said for the fact that the Syrian government is not allowing foreign journalism in right now. They're actually targeting foreign journalists aggressively to keep them out of the country or to keep them out of areas where the news is happening.
Right.
And the other thing that they've done is they've put an embargo or banned the import of iPhones and smartphones into the country.
But they're so easy to slip in. I mean, this is the beauty about the iPhone or any smartphone for that matter. It's that you can easily sneak them into the country. And I think in this particular case, thank God for that, because I mean, what's happening in that country is absolutely dreadful. And there are so many people that are risking life and limb just recording whatever footage they can get and sharing it with the world. I'm just amazed. And one of those things where it's like, you know, I really feel bad for the journalists. I used to be a journalist ever so slightly, and I would never have the balls to do what they do. I commend them for putting themselves in harm's way for doing that.
It's a documentary that you would expect to see from. I mean, it's not like a Nat Geo piece on the jungle. It's shaky camera stuff. It's filming in dark. It's filming in dark environments, in shaded areas, out of the side of a bus. Through a crack in a door. I mean, it's this kind of stuff where even though he was only using his iPhone, he was still putting himself in harm's way. There's one point in the documentary where he talks about the fact that there was a couple snaps of sniper fire or gunfire, and he was following another family with a couple guys and the kids and whatnot, and out of the whole group of people he was walking with, he was the only one that jumped, you know, like any one of us would if we heard a gunshot.
Yeah.
And I guess they joked with him, you know, like, what's the matter, you want to hit the deck now or something like that. So I mean, they're down there. I mean, they've got gunfire going on. They're targeting journalists, so it's It's serious, serious business for these guys, and I commend this guy for what he brought back and what they created with it. It's really impressive knowing the conditions that they were in. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is that the footage and whatnot isn't like, oh, amazing, you know, watching a cinema movie. It's rough and tumble kind of documentary footage, just like you would have seen if they were using any other kind of camera.
But he was using what he had available to him at the time.
He was using the only thing he could use.
That's what I meant to say. Thank you.
Exactly.
It almost seems like the iPhone was the appropriate tool for this piece. I mean, that footage is really raw and gritty and kind of drives home the feelings and the emotions and just really gives you a sense, I think a good sense of what's going on over there right now.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, look at what happened with Libya. I mean, we literally got to see the death of a dictator in the very most brutal fashion. And I mean, same thing. People were using their smartphones for that. And I mean, it's amazing to see that kind of technology put to such crazy use.
It is. It is. And you know what? I agree with Matt. It's and we should be glad that we have that kind of thing. You know, there's at the end of one of those articles about the documentary, it talks about you know, how some of us can sit there and hate on it when, like, you're at a concert and you paid $45 for the tickets to the concert and 700 people in front of you are holding up their phones trying to record it. You know, clearly that's a kind of bummer on things. But when you look at things like what's going on in Egypt and Syria and even here at home in with the Occupy movement, you know, things are getting documented, good or bad, and for good reasons or bad reasons, you know, we're getting to see things. You know, it kind of makes me laugh about the last story. It was actually surprising that we didn't have any video of Russell Brand grabbing the phone and throwing it across the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
why don't we go into the next segment of the iPhone or smartphone haters, for that matter?
Yes, let's move into the feature of the week. Today's feature, last week when I teased it, I said we were going to call it Instagram haters, but we're just going to stick with I haters. And basically what we're
I hate.
And we're gonna kind of just have a casual chat about some of the kind of stuff like we're talking about here, where the good bonus benefits of what can happen with an iPhone, and then some of the people who are on the other side of the fence of it for whatever reason, whether it's because of Instagram and the filter happy Instagrammers, or some stories about some photojournalism faux pas. Anyway, who wants to start out on this wonderful conversation?
Well, I suppose we could talk about Damon Winters' photo and the kind of lashing that he took by Chip Litherland on the, I forget what his blog is called, Chip Litherland Photography. Basically, David Winter won third place in the Pictures of the Year International. It's a photojournalism photography contest, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And he was following soldiers, I think in Afghanistan, and basically he took a picture with Hipstamatic, which is an iPhone app, and this photo won third place in the contest and kind of caused an uproar with a lot of other photojournalists. They say that this is not pure photography, which photojournalism is supposed to be, that the app removed some of the reality from the photo.
Now, this is something that we covered on the Lens Wipe quite some time ago. And, you know, it's amazing how far my viewpoints have come over a short period of time of having the iPhone. We were kind of iffy on that, too. Like, you know, these filters, you know, they change the story. What is it about this filter that's so different from, say, using black and white film? Because that's also changing reality as well.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. I think that this is actually an argument that's older than Hipstamatic for certain, and probably older than digital and so forth. Is different. And I know Joe's probably in the forum right now, freaking out. I think that, you know, photojournalists have always had the ability to shuffle to the left a little bit to recompose their picture. They've always had the ability to step six steps closer to recompose and crop out something that they didn't want in it. They've always had the ability to add contrast into their image. They've always had the ability to do these things. And photojournalism has always had
it's a code of conduct.
We're not doing anything, or they shouldn't be doing anything that changes or alters reality in such a way that completely falsifies what reality is. And this particular picture by Winter, I don't see that as being that. I think that the fact that he took it with Hipstamatic straight off the bat and this is the way it came out. Whether or not this is a depiction of how he felt the scene was or what, isn't as important as the fact that he created this picture and didn't sit there and remove a soldier or add a muzzle flash or anything like that. I mean, he didn't do anything to the image harmfully in a way that would try and you know, fake out the viewers.
Basically, it's important to note that Hipstamatic is not equivalent to, say, Instagram. You actually choose your effects and your... basically, what it's doing is mimicking different films and stuff like that. You're doing that beforehand, just as you would with the regular film camera. And once you take the photo, that's it. The thing is applied and it's done.
It's baked in, right.
It's baked in. Yep. So, in effect... yes, it's using a filter, but it's done during the process. So he still has to be there to aim the camera and everything. I mean, it's still mimicking the same process as you would, say, a regular camera and using a specific film. And again, I think it comes to what it all comes down to is there are people who just don't like anything about the iPhone photography, and it happens in varying degrees. I mean,
You can simplify more than that by saying there are people that aren't going to like anything about anything, period.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So if you decided you wanted to display this print for the contest in a white mat with a black frame, you know what I mean? I feel bad for Winter in this particular situation because it's a pretty cool picture. It tells a good story. And to kind of try and sully that by saying that
there are so many people that went off on this. I mean, it just caused such a shitstorm. And when we were doing our research for this, did you guys feel very what's the word? Bogged down? This was not a fun assignment that we had.
I didn't feel bogged down. I felt like this is, I mean, again, it's just one of these polarizing things where you have some people that are just so adamant against it, and you have other people that are very, very willing and accepting.
Yes.
You know, I think about the people, you know, even 4 or 5 years ago that were just hating on digital.
This reminded me so much of listening to political pundits, because it's such a polarizing fact. Like, some of the message boards that we saw was like, you know, I hate this because my camera shoots with fire and it makes me hurt my brain. then you have, you know, everybody, you know, cheering this guy on, saying, I totally agree with you 100%. This is a travesty, blah, blah, blah. And it goes down and down, like the same thing. And then there's always this one person saying, oh, I kind of disagree with you. And then that person's immediately silenced.
Yeah, so I mean, we have I tossed a link at you guys, and one of them is Annie Leibovitz saying that the iPhone 4S is the snapshot camera of the day. So you know, she's clearly not going and taking pictures of the Queen with it, but
again, it's all it is a device that takes pictures, and what you do with it is left to your imagination. I mean, Apple in their I want to say in their brilliance, I'm really not trying to blow smoke up their ass. All they did was just create a really, really good camera and allowed the technology to be basically molded into whatever people saw fit. And out of that came things like Hipstamatic and other camera apps, and then Instagram comes up. And
so one of the things that kind of prompted this for us, I know I shared this with you guys, is Gavin Syme, who hosts the Pro Photo Show, posted on his Facebook page, and I'm going to quote for you right now. It says, "I don't really get Instagram. Seems mostly snapshots with overdone distracting filters. Snapshots are great, but why pretend there's something else? I know it's social and all that, but I would rather see regular old snapshots than overprocessed Instagram. Maybe I'm just getting old and cranky. Thoughts?" And that was that kind of, and it could be because I read it a certain way that I kind of take it a certain way. But
I don't know what his intentions were to do that. I know polarizing comments on Facebook or wherever bring up the most activity. So, you know, he's probably just trying to, you know, trying to stir up some activity.
There's a lot of those kind of comments regarding Instagram and iPhonography in general. I really don't understand it. You know, so many people have a problem with the filters, but the great thing about something like Instagram being social is that you could choose what you want to look at. You could choose the photographers or just people that you want to follow. Not everybody is going hog wild with the filters on Instagram. So if you don't want to see that, you know, so I don't understand it. It's kind of the same as just going on Flickr and finding people that you want to follow on Flickr. Some people go totally bananas with HDR and post, you know, cartoon images to their Flickr streams, and some people have, you know, very nice, just straightforward, realistic pictures. It just, you just find what you want to look at and ignore what you don't want to look at. So I don't really get it.
Well, I think what we're seeing here is, you know, people will overlook the fact that I'm going to pick apart Gavin's comment here. You know, I know it's social and all that. Well, that is all that. It's a social activity. You're sharing photos. I mean, you can share the worst piece of crap photo or you share the greatest photo.
And you don't have to do it on Instagram.
And you don't have to, well, the thing is that to that person at that time, that photo meant something to them. It could be just some goofy things like, look what stupid thing I did today. And they post it.
It could be just Instagram, so I didn't see it.
What's that?
I was just kidding with you.
I
think Matt brings up a good point. It just kind of harkens back to what I said earlier. It's just some people are going to, you know, it's just like watching cable TV. You don't have to watch Axemen if you don't want to. You know, it's a weird show that a lot of people don't like. A lot of people do like it. There's no need for you to tune into that channel if you don't like it. And if you feel like you want to share socially on Instagram and you find somebody who's making some really amazing stuff, like the person we shared last week with the dog, I follow them and I love it now. You know, and I pick up on some people's feeds. I watch them for a while. If it's something I like, I stick with it. If it's something I don't like, I move on. It's just like anything else.
Right.
To have to come out and say, you know, to the whole world, and I think maybe you're right. I think, you know, Gavin's got a thing that he's got to do. He's got to create interaction and whatnot, and that's great. But, you know, sometimes to kind of come forward with those kinds of comments, you know, you come off a certain way, and people who feel strongly about things will react. And so maybe that's what he's going for.
Possibly. I mean, there's no way we're going to know. It's his thought, his audience, and fine. But I think it's important to point out that at least, you know, his was the very most mildest of what we saw. Sure. I mean, there are some people that are just rabid in either direction.
So let's close this up, folks, by saying to our listeners, head on over to tinyshutter.com and let us know what your thoughts are about some of the links that we'll be posting up here, because there's more stuff that we're not going to be able to get to today as far as the eye haters. And we're going to move on to focus points. Do we have magical music for that, Mark?
No, we do not have music yet.
Maybe next time.
But I will do this. And that's all.
Perfect. I'm going to start it off today since mine's sitting right in front of me. So for my my focus point of the week, I chose a product that is for the iPhone, and it's not really for general consumers like us to purchase, but what it is for places like hospitals or factories or probably places very similar to Apple that are working on secret projects and whatnot, and it's places where you would normally not be allowed to bring a camera into. And now that every single phone walking around has a camera, this inventor in Michigan created what's called a pick patch. And the pick patch is a sticker, and there's a couple different sizes that that goes over the lens of your camera phone. And there's a couple different designs. There's actually one like for the iPhone or other front-facing cameras. There's a couple different designs, and basically what it does is it covers up the camera so you can't take a picture. And security would place this on your camera, on your camera phone, and it says right on it, pick patch and whatever like that. And the thing about it is it doesn't leave any residue when it's pulled off, so that's always nice. But the other neat thing about it is if security sees you, and they see the camera, they can look at it. And if you happen to have peeled off the sticker, when you peel it off, it says void, 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 so that security knows you're screwing with them, and they can, you know, do whatever they may do to deal with it. So I just thought it was a really neat product, and a smart guy came up with it, and he's trying to, I guess it's actually selling fairly well, but I thought it was a great idea. Instead of having to deal with people as far as that aspect of security and privacy goes, it was a neat idea to deal with a problem.
That was pretty interesting. How about you, Matt?
Okay, so my focus point this week is a product called the Diff Case. That's spelled D-I-F-F. And basically what this is, it's a full bumper iPhone case with two standard tripod mounts on it. So you could mount your phone on a tripod in either the landscape or portrait format. So it's a full bumper case. It has two lids that can cover your phone both front and back, and the lid that would cover your screen, you could tilt it to 90 and 135 degrees, so you could use it as a privacy lid to keep people from peeking at your phone, or as a sunshade to eliminate glare and reflection so you could see your screen better. I am currently testing this thing out, and we'll have a full review of it on the Tiny Shutter website within the next day or two.
Awesome.
But I was hoping that it would be a case that would replace my everyday case, so I could just have a tripod mount, and it might fall a little short. You'll just have to check out the website and see my review.
Sweet.
Riveting. Well, mine's going to be a little bit different. Mine's going to be the commenters that we've been receiving on the Tiny Shutter podcast. And one in particular, sir, I don't have your name because all I have is your username that you used here. But he's basically an Android phone user, and he's been enjoying our podcast. And I got to say thank you to that, because even though we are strictly an iPhone photography podcast, We joke about we joke about tongue in cheek with Android. It's kind of like the Canon Nikon thing. Even though that you're the scum of the earth, we enjoy your shit. I kid, but we thank you for listening. And it's one of these things where I really wish that the camera technology was more in par with one another. And
it's not.
It's not, but one of these, like for example, I'm more referring to the apps that we receive, like Instagram and Camera Plus, and all those things. It's one of those things where I really wish it was a more of a universal thing that we can all share. It's one of those things where I wish the apps were more in line with one another. But
that was a great comment. I as soon as he said he was an Android user, I'm like, oh boy, he's our first hater.
No, he's enjoying the show, and I'm really glad about that.
Yeah,
really glad we're reaching out. So I guess the last thing I want to say is just every weekend go out, challenge yourself with your smartphone, regardless of what brand it is. Know its limitations, and then go to town and break it, break the limitations, not your phone.
So that's pretty much it for this week, folks. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a great comment. And if you have any specific comments for the show, make sure you head over to the post for today's show, because all the links and information for today's show will be there. And you can also add any comments or questions about that specific show. Next week's show is going to be a 3-way battle royale between Camera Plus, Camera Awesome, and the Native Camera app. Each one of us will be taking sides with one of those apps and pitting them against each other in the cage. So make sure you head back next week and check out the show. And we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Camera Plus, what you gonna do when Camera Plus runs wild on you?
Hello, iPhone photography fans. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast for...
Dude, wait, stop, cut. That sounds too douchey.
Hello, iPhone photographers. What was douchey about the last one?
Hello, everybody.
And
now I sounded douchey.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
I actually like that one.
Also in the news... this isn't actually right now in basic the it escapes me. I don't remember the name. It's not important right now because and you know what, now that I think of it, let's just cut that whole thing.